ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय धर्मरात् इव शिक्षायाम् आचार्य इमवान् इव कुबेरा इव कोशाद्य उक्तात् वरुणा यता धर्मरात् इव शिक्षायाम् आचार्य हिमवान् इव कुबेरा इव कुबेरा इव कोशाद्य उक्तात्तो वरुणो यता धर्मरादिव शिक्षाया आचार्य हिमवान् इव कुबेरा इव कोशाद्य उक्तात्तो वरुणो यता धर्मरादिव शिक्षाया आचार्य हिमवान् इव कुबेरा इव कोशाद्य उक्तात्तो वरुणो यता
Superintendent of death. Shikshayam in education. Ascharya in opulence. Himavan Iva like the Himalaya mountains. Kubera the treasure of the heavenly planets. Iva like Kosha Adya, in the matter of possessing wealth. Gupta Artha, secrecy. Varuna, the demigod named Varuna. Yata, like. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maharaj Prithu's intelligence and education were exactly like that of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. His opulence was comparable to the Himalaya mountains, where all valuable jewels and metals are stocked. He possessed great riches like Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly planets, and no one could reveal his secrets, for they were like the demigod Varunas. Please repeat. Maharaj Prithu's intelligence and education were exactly like that of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. His opulence was comparable to the Himalaya mountains, where all valuable jewels and metals are stocked. He possessed great riches, like Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly planets, and no one could reveal his secrets, for they were like the demigod Varunas. Purport. Yamaraj, or Dharmaraj, as the superintendent of death, has to judge the criminal living entities who have committed sinful activities throughout their lives. Consequently, Yamaraj is expected to be most expert in judicial matters. Prithu Maharaj was also highly learned and exceedingly exact in delivering his judgment upon the citizens. No one could excel him in opulence any more than to estimate the stock of minerals and jewels in the Himalaya mountains. Therefore, he is compared to Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly planets. Nor could anyone discover the secrets of his life any more than learn the secrets of Varuna, the demigod presiding over the water, the night, and the western sky. Varuna is omniscient, and since he punishes sins, he is prayed to for forgiveness. He is also the sender of disease and is also associated with Mitra and Indra. Dharmaradiva shikshayam asyarya himavaniva kuvera iva koshatya guptato varunayata. Maharaj Prithu's intelligence and education were exactly like that of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. His opulence was comparable to the Himalaya mountains, where all valuable jewels and metals are stocked. He possessed great riches like Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly planets, and no one could reveal his secrets, for they were like the demigod Varunas. Before I speak anything from this Bhagavad Purana, I'd like to request the permission and blessings of the assembled Vaishnavas so that I may speak something for your inspiration and my purification. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Chaitanya Swamiti Namne Namami Bhakti Chaitanya Prabhupada Sevanam Shri Vrajadhanam Adhim Pradarshan Kapribhanam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namne Namaste Saraswati Deve Kaurubani Tucharine Nidvishesha Shunyavati Pashyati Deshtavya. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Budham Hayam Dadati Swapanantikam Panchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Again we are reminded of the greatness of Maharaj Prithu.
through the descriptions of his qualities in this verse. The superintendent of death, Yamaraj, is meant to be the most well situated in intelligence and education, so he can offer proper judgment. So this adhikar and qualification is necessary for this post. Therefore, the best and most responsible person, Yamaraj, is given this responsibility. The person who owns most opulence that we can consider or compare is Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly planets. And Maharaj Prithu's opulence is compared to his. Indeed, to the jewels and minerals that are hidden within the depths of the Himalaya mountains. The most secret of all secrets is possessed by Varuna because he himself is omniscient. And thus Prithu is compared to having such secrets which nobody is able to discover and understand. Amongst the categories of being judicial, being opulent, being secretive, these personalities are the topmost and foremost. Therefore, to compare Prithu Maharaj to having these qualities is a form of glorification. We see something quite similar in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10. Opulences of the Absolute, wherein at the end of chapter 9, Krishna instructs Arjuna to always engage his mind in thinking of him. Man mano bhava mad bhakto. So, thereafter, Krishna speaks the Chatur Sloki in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, 8 to 11. Then Arjuna responds by glorifying the Lord and understanding his position. And he wants to know further, how is it possible that I can remember you, think of you always, constantly? Krishna goes on from text 20 to 39 to list various opulences. And we'll see in these opulences that of all the categories that he mentions, and Kuvera is mentioned also there, Yamaraj is mentioned also there, the Himalaya mountains are also mentioned there, he is the topmost in every category. So what is the purpose behind all of this descriptions? It is to further give us information of the personality being glorified and to give us ways and means in which we can compare his incomparable glory. If we hear about the glories of the Lord who is devotee, we are able to fix our mind upon them. There's this nice verse, beginning of the 7th chapter. Maya shakta manaha yogam yonjan madashraya asamshayam samagram mam yata gyasasi tatshinam. Krishna says that now hear, O son of Pita, how my, by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. The verse prior to this, Krishna is identifying bhakti yoga as the topmost yoga system. And the way to practice bhakti yoga is to engage the mind in thinking of the Lord, abiding in him and engaging in unalloyed devotional service. Krishna, out of his kindness, in the very first verse of chapter 7, begins to describe what is the process to think of him. And the process recommended here in chapter 7, text 1, is to hear, tatshina. We may consider some examples from the Shastra about the potency of hearing from authority. We see in the Bhagavatam that the glorious attributes of Maharaj Parikshit, the king will yet to be born, the horoscope is described to Yudhishthira. And with this knowledge, he becomes very confident that yes, there's a rightful heir to this throne, a successor of ours. So in that way, he happily resigned and retired from the kingdom, confident that this successor will do a good job. We also see from the pastime of Rukminiji that when Narada Muni came to visit the kingdom of her father, he described at length the qualities of Krishna. And just by hearing the qualities of Krishna, Rukmini was completely captivated. And she decided that there can be no other husband except for Krishna, for me. So let's bring it closer to home. We are chanting 16 rounds minimum per day. How many rounds are we hearing? Srila Prabhupada says, first be conscious, then be Krishna conscious. Now if we are unconscious when we're chanting our japa, then there's no possibility of becoming Krishna conscious. So, by fixing our mind on the sound vibration and chanting with clear pronunciation, we can focus and chant our rounds. So some dilemma comes up when I analyze this in my own life. And it is that if I take a lot of time to pronounce very clearly, then my japa takes longer than 9 or 10 minutes. But if I were to chant quickly, in a reasonable speed, or a fast speed, then I miss parts of the mantra. So I approached my Guru Maharaj with this question. And he said that you should chant at an efficient speed so that you're able to complete your quota of rounds in a set amount of time. But at the same time, you should pronounce clearly. So in one sense, he kind of didn't answer my question because I was still thinking what to do. But in one sense, it's the perfect answer because both things are necessary. We have to chant at a good enough pace to be able to complete our rounds at a reasonable amount of time so we can get on with our service. And at the same time, we must not chant too fast that we lose the words of the mantra, so we must pronounce. So in this attempt, in this endeavor to pronounce the mantra properly, we focus the mind. And when the mind is focused by making an exertion to try and hear every syllable of the mantra, then we are attentive. And in this way, we are able to chant attentively, wakefully, and without offenses. His Grace Radhika Nagar Prabhu was mentioning yesterday about the glories of serving the devotees. So, when we serve others, we automatically advance. It's a great kind of mystery that you're trying to support and serve another person, another devotee, but you automatically advance. The devotees are the dearest to Krishna. So if you care for Krishna, you'll automatically care for his devotees. If you want to serve Krishna, you'll automatically have a desire in your heart to serve the devotees. Prabhupada often said, if you love me, love my dog. So, the spiritual master is very dear to Krishna. By pleasing him, one can get the attention of Krishna and get the mercy of Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kato api. We sing this every morning in the Guru Vastikam, that by the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets the attention and mercy of Krishna. And without the mercy of the spiritual master, one cannot get the grace of Krishna. So there's one very nice pastime in this regards. Once, in a place called Vana Vishnupur, Srinivas Acharya meditated on his eternal form as Mani Manjani. And in this meditation, he came into the scene of Srimati Radharani, Krishna, and the Sakis bathing in Yamuna and enjoying water spots. Srinivas Acharya, in the form of Mani Manjari, was witnessing this on the bank of Yamuna. Whilst the spotting was going on, the besara, or nose ring, of Srimati Radharani fell into the Jamuna. This went noticed by everyone except for Srila Rupa Goswami in his Manjari form, Srupa Manjari. Noticed this. Then he winked at Guna Manjari, who is none other than Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami immediately, in the form of Guna Manjari, dove into Yamuna to look for the Besara, the nose ring. However, despite her best efforts, she could not retrieve the nose ring. She even called for Mani Manjari to assist. But try as they may, in the dark blue waters of Yamuna, the nose ring was not to be found. In his meditation, Srinivasacharya remained searching for that nose ring for 3 consecutive days in meditation. His family members and friends became alarmed and thought, this person has left the body, he's just sitting there, he's just lying there. But one personality knew what was the mood of Srinivasacharya. And this was Ramachandra Kaviraj. Ramachandra Kaviraj is a disciple of Srinivasacharya. So when he came and he looked at Srinivasacharya, he could understand that actually this person is deeply absorbed in ecstatic symptoms of meditating on the divine couple. So he sat beside him and entered into meditation also and joined that lila. And it's explained by the acharyas that Ramachandra Kaviraj and Srinivasacharya say they share the same identity as Mani Manjari. And other authorities name Ramachandra Kaviraj as Karuna Manjari. So when Ramachandra Kaviraj entered this pastime, this lila, he began to seek out where is this nose ring together with his spiritual master Srinivasacharya in the form of Guna Manjari. And by their endeavors, they were able to find the nose ring under one lotus leaf. So Ramachandra Kaviraj, in the meditation, took the nose ring and gave it to Guna Manjari, the Srinivasacharya. Excuse me, Mani Manjari, or Srinivasacharya. Then Mani Manjari then presented it to Guna Manjari, and that nose ring eventually was presented for Srimati Radharani's pleasure to wear as part of her dress for the pleasure of Krishna. Ramachandra Kaviraj was extremely pleased. He got an opportunity to serve his spiritual master in this intimate way. So, this should become our desire actually. It's a very important lesson to be learned here. That we should make the mission of our spiritual master our mission. And if you can assist the spiritual master in serving his mission, you get the full mercy of the spiritual master. And in this way, this is a success of our spiritual life. We see this in the Leela of Srila Prabhupada, that at one stage it is described, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had constructed a very opulent building. And then he made a statement, if I could sell the marble of this building, I would sell it and print books. So Srila Prabhupada picked this up, that my spiritual master has placed a great emphasis on the production of books and the distribution of books. So he took it to heart. Later on at Radhakund, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur directly instructed Srila Prabhupada, if ever you get money, print books, print books, print books. So it was confirmed. And we look at the Leela of Srila Prabhupada, that he was constantly pushing his disciples to print as many books as possible in as many languages as possible and distribute these books as widely as possible. Because he took it up that he was serving the mission of his spiritual master. The next question arises is, are we really willing to serve? Sometimes we approach people to assist with some service, But we need to question our motivation, and we need to question our real desire to serve. I was approached by one of our students maybe 3 or 4 days ago. We had a problem. And he said that he was trying to serve Prasadam, and he got rebuked by one of the senior servants, and he came to me very upset. So I told him that, you know, ultimately, beyond this immediate situation of you being chastised by this senior person or you feeling uncomfortable, is the will of the Lord. That this is an arrangement of the Lord made for your purification. Don't see the immediate cause, see the remote cause. And don't be disturbed by the instrument of your purification. So many times we see the immediate situation and we become angry with that personality. But you don't realize that that personality is merely an instrument to the ultimate arranger of your purification. That's Krishna. Krishna is your ever well-wishing friend. He has your best interests at heart. Therefore, he will not do anything to harm you. If you look at things a few days down the line, or a few weeks down the line, or a few years down the line, you'll think, ah, now this makes sense. After all that trouble that I went through, I came out a better person, an improved devotee. I've learned a lesson from this experience. But when we're in that moment, it's very difficult to see, when we're in the test. And just to make this point very clear in my mind, Krishna also sent me a test. And I was quite eager to serve under certain circumstances. And some misunderstanding was there. So immediately I got upset with this person. I thought, why is this person being disturbed? Then I thought, I had spoken to this person this exact same words. I got to follow and practice what I am preaching. I have to follow my own advice. So this is one of the glories of being given responsibility and the opportunity to preach, do a service like give Bhagavatam class or be a teacher. It's a wonderful, wonderful mercy of Krishna. I'm so grateful I got this service. And that is because you can make exponential advancement in your Krishna consciousness by doing this service. Because whatever you say on this seat or whatever you say in front of your students, you yourself have to practice. You may not be practicing it even, and you say it, but by saying it here and in the classroom, you'll be forced to practice it. When you are given responsibility, you're forced to become responsible. So this is wonderful, and I'm so grateful to my Guru Maharaj for giving me this service. Ramachandra Kaviraj got the name Kaviraj for a certain reason, and that is because he was a great poet. Actually, I have one poem composed by him here, which I can read to you. Prakashila Mahaprabhu Hare Krishna Mantra Preme Ravadara Kari Bhaila Samsara Anda Avadi Yatakar Pasha Bindu Napadile Mukhe Ramachandra Tandasa. The translation is, Sriman Mahaprabhu is so kind that he manifests the nectar of the Hare Krishna mantra. The holy name will free all souls from the cycle of birth and death, from lower planets, from hell. The holy name will give one a taste of divine love for Radha Madhava. Whether blind or dumb, anyone can drown in this flood of prema. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has filled everyone with love of God. But Ramachandra Das is so unfortunate that he couldn't even taste a drop of nectar. This is very beautiful composition explaining the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the glories of the holy name, and also stating his own humble position. We were discussing in Bhakti Shastri class 2 days ago. Yeah, 2 days ago, about humility. And what is the difference between real humility and false humility? This is real humility, because you know that Ramachandra Kaviraj,
He is the personal associate of the Lord. He is a manjari in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So when he makes such a statements that he is not tasting a drop of the nectar of the holy name, we should know that he is doing sort of real, deep felt humility. When we say that we're not tasting a drop of the holy name, it's more likely to be the truth. I beg for forgiveness. Maybe there's some of you are tasting very deeply the nectar of the holy name, but for myself, I'm yet to taste. So in this past time, I mentioned about Gopala Bhatta. Who remembers what is his sarup in Radha Krishna Lila? Gunamanjari. Yes. So that pastime is quite interesting because it unites two individuals whose tithi it is today. Today is the disappearance day of Ramachandra Kaviraj and the appearance day of Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So both these lilas, this lila connects these two personalities. It's quite incredible that they share the same day for this lilas. Gopala Bhatta Goswami was a son of Venkata Bhatta, who was born in South India in Sri Rangam. And from a very early age, Gopala Bhatta was privileged to have extremely wonderful association. And who was that? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. During the Chaturmasya rainy season of the year, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during his South Indian tour, stopped at the home of Venkata Bhatta and stayed there for the entire 4 months. And in that time, Venkata Bhatta was serving Mahaprabhu in so many ways, and the young Gopala Bhatta was also engaged in the service of the Lord. So in this way, he got the blessings and mercy of the Lord. We heard from Radhika Nagara Prabhu yesterday that he quoted from the verse, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 16, that by serving, the devotees are completely freed from vice. The attraction for Katha, Vasudev Katha, is awakened in the heart. So in this way, the service attitude was invoked in the heart of Gopala Bhatta Goswami. Gopala Bhatta Goswami was also renowned for his writings. He was a co-author of the Hari Bhakti Vilas with Sanatana Goswami. He also edited the Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, and he also was involved in the editing of the Krishna Karanamrita. Srila Gopala Bhatta Goswami was also responsible for the construction and establishment of the worship of Radharaman, one of the seven great temples in Vrindavan, seven wonderful deities in Vrindavan. Of course, there's many wonderful deities in Vrindavan. And there's one very nice history about this deity. Would you like to hear? So, the deity is named Radharaman. And once, when Gopala Bhatta Goswami was on pilgrimage, he came to Gandaki River. And from this Gandaki River, with his lota, he scooped up some water. But in the lota, there were also 12 shilas from the Gandaki River. So Gopala Bhatta Goswami felt himself most unqualified to worship this vigraha form of the Lord, this deity, in the form of the Shaligram Shila. So he replaced them back into the Gandaki River. Then he took another scoop of water in his lota, and the 12 shilas were again in the lota. So he very respectfully placed them back in the Gandaki River, and he took another scoop of water. When this happened several times, he took it to be the will of the Lord. So he decided, the Lord is desiring to be worshipped by me in this way, let me take him home. Let me take them home. So he began to worship the deity in this way. Then once, one very rich merchant came to this area and he offered garments to dress the deity. But Gopala Bhatta was in a dilemma. His deity had no limbs. How will he dress? But by that offering, a desire was awakened within the core of Gopala Bhatta Goswami's heart. I desire so much to worship a personal form of the Lord, have that opportunity to dress Him, to bathe Him. And that day happened to be Nishingadev Chaturdasi. So, he was meditating the whole day of Nishingadev Chaturdasi. That Lord Nishingadev appeared from a pillar. How marvelous is this? How merciful is the Lord? He can do anything. He can appear from anywhere at any time. Because He is everywhere, all the time. And then he took rest. The next day, he saw that one of his shilas had transformed into a vigraha, an archamurti. And this was Radharaman. Upon examining the back of the deity, he saw that the marks of Damodar Shila were on the back of this deity, which means that Radharaman had manifested from that particular Shila and kept those markings on his back. Gopala Bhatta was extremely overjoyed and he became so happy. But one other point is there, one other detail, and is that some Goswamis of the era came and looked at this deity. And they said that this deity resembles Krishna in all respects. In other words, it's an exact likeness of Krishna. Now there's a history to this also. 5,000 years ago, before this incident, Vrajanab, who is the great-grandson of Krishna, desired to construct or make one deity exactly like Krishna in all respects. So upon construction or manufacturing or sculpting of the first deity of the Lord, he wanted to get confirmation. Is this a replica of this deity? This deity, is this a replica of Krishna exactly in all respects? So he had to call some authority. So he called Uddhava and Uttara, who were the only remaining people who had seen Krishna face to face at the planet, alive at that time. So he said, this deity looks exactly like Krishna from the waist down. Oh, Vrajanam said, I have to try again. So this deity became Madan Mohan. Then on his second attempt to carve the deity, he again called Uddhava and Uttara and says, so, is this deity an exact likeness of Krishna? They said, this deity looks exactly like Krishna from the neck up. This is Govinda. Oh, what to do? Third time, sculpted again, very carefully, to try and be as accurate as possible. Then he called these authorities, please confirm, is this the exact replica of Krishna? This deity is exactly like Krishna from the neck to the waist. This was Gopinath. So in this way, these three wonderful deities were sculpted and their different bodily parts exactly resemble Krishna. But the complete form, from the top of his beautiful head, which is adorned by a peacock feather, to the bottom of his lotus toes, is Radharaman. Radharaman ji ki! So in this way, this deity was constructed. I just want to make one more point and then we can take questions. In the meditation of Srinivasa Acharya, when he had entered into the Leela of Radha and Krishna sporting in the waters, he was completely absorbed and actually experiencing a connection with the Lord. He therefore is able to notice that the nose ring was lost and with the assistance of Ramachandra Kaviraj to find that nose ring. So my point is that we should not imitate this. Imitation is not good. There are two words in Sanskrit, anusara and anukara. Anukara means imitation and anusara means following in the footsteps. Following in the footsteps is very much desired. In the Nectar of Instruction, text 3, sattva vritti, which means following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, bhakti shastris. And in this way, one can perfect one's life, because we need to follow examples. Mahajans. The Mahajans are there so we can follow the examples, but we should not imitate. Prabhupada gives the example of Lord Shiva. This is chapter 3, text 41, purport. The example of Lord Shiva, who many followers imitate and smoke ganja, but they forget their inability to drink an ocean of poison. And also we see many people try to imitate Krishna's rasa lila pastimes, forgetting the inability to lift Govardhan Hill. So, Prabhupada says, Krishna is known as Gopi Jana Vallabha. That is true. He is very beloved to the gopis. But in the same line of that bhajan, Gopi Jana Vallabha, Giri Varadhani. So if both things you can do, then you can try and imitate, but you can't. So, we should very carefully make an attempt to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, and in this way, perfect our Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gopala Bhatta Goswami ki, Srila Ramachandra Kaviraj ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki. So if there's any questions or comments, yeah, these two names, Guna Manjari is an assistant to the Sakhis of Srimati Radharani, and her identity in Gaur Leela is Gopala Bhatta Goswami. And Mani Manjari is also a Manjari in the assisting the Sakhis of Srimati Radharani, and in Gaur Leela, her identity is Srinivasacharya. But it's actually a shared identity, because Ramachandra Kaviraj is also identified as being Mani Manjari. But some acharyas say that Ramachandra Kaviraj is Karuna Manjari. So the Manjari's service, I don't want to get into topics that I don't know about, but their assistance of the Sakis, basically. Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a very nice class. I appreciate what you said, that you are grateful to your spiritual master that he gave you this service. And I would like to, if you can advise us how to, because for example me, I'm not all the time able to be conscious and grateful to my spiritual master for whatever service I am doing. And I would like improve in this. So if you can advise me how to become 100% conscious of Guru Kripa.
I'm making the attempt. Thank you for the question. I'm making the attempt myself to become fully conscious of Guru Kripa, but first we should understand what is our worth in this world. I know I'm completely worthless. This is the first point. Moshama patita prabhu na paibeha. There's no one more fallen than me. But the very next verse in that song says, Haha prabhu nityananda premananda sukhi kripa bala kanakaro ami bara dukhi. Although I'm so fallen and so unqualified, still Lord Nityananda's mercy is there. And by His mercy, even somebody who is completely dukhi can become sukhi. Somebody who is completely unqualified can become qualified. Some people, person who is completely unable can become enabled. And this is the potency of Guru. Lord Nityananda is the original spiritual master. So, understanding how weak, frail and unqualified position is important, But at the same time, becoming too absorbed in that thought can become paralyzing. Humility doesn't mean low self-esteem. Humility means being bold for Krishna. And thus the focus becomes Krishna instead of our own inabilities and disabilities and lackings. Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj puts it very nicely. He says that humility means not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less, which means thinking of yourself less often. Sometimes we get absorbed, I'm so fallen, and the whole day, who are you thinking about? You. So if you think, I'm so fallen, but the mercy of Lord Nityananda is unlimited. The mercy of my Guru Maharaj is unlimited. Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu, Adama, the Adama, the unqualified fallen people, he is the Bandhu of such people, friend. And Karuna Sindhu is an ocean of mercy. Once, Srila Prabhupada was in a morning walk, and actually, Janmashtami Prabhu mentioned this many times actually, that in this morning walk, Giriraj Maharaj was there. And Prabhupada is mentioning this verse, chapter 7, text 28, of that once becomes qualified, free from all sin, pap, and by the strength of his pious activities, he becomes qualified to be situated in devotional service. So Giriraj Swami was saying, Prabhupada, how are we qualified? Because look at the background we came from, you know, engaging in so many activities which are not bona fide, etc. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I created your good fortune. So it's like that with the spiritual master, that any good that we're able to do, any advancement you make in Krishna consciousness, it has been created by the mercy of Guru. And we should never ever be proud of borrowed plumes. Some or the other, by nothing short of a miracle, we're able to do some devotional service. We should always give credit to Guru. Because you should understand that mercy is coming down the parampara. From Krishna, through the acharyas, to the Goswamis, through the disciplic succession, through Prabhupada, through our Guru Maharaj, to us. Therefore, credit, acknowledgement, and glory, if we receive, should go up the parampara. To Guru, to Prabhupada, parampara, to Krishna, where it belongs. If we take credit, then we are in an extremely fallen condition. We should not borrow strength from borrowed plumes, because by the very statement, borrowed plumes are borrowed. They're not ours. This statement is given in the first canto, where Arjun, who has just won the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he has won the battle almost single-handedly. But then Krishna has left. And then the same Arjun, with the same Gandiva bow, with the same chariot, he is unable to defend Krishna's queens from some cowherd raiders, some low-class men who came to steal the queens of Krishna. And he said, all these things that I have, Gandiva bow, my fame as Arjun, the mighty warrior, my ability, all of these things mean nothing without Krishna. They are useless. He compares them to sowing seeds on barren land, offering clarified butter onto ashes. One more is there. Three things he says. So, without the mercy of Guru flowing through our veins, basically, we are unable. We limp. Like, you know, there's a marionette's doll. If there's no controller making the marionette dance, it's limp. Marionette doesn't dance by itself. So we should aspire to become puppets of our Gurudev. Prabhupada prayed like this actually when he landed on Boston Harbor. Lord, I'm just a puppet in your hands. Make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. And how shall a Prabhupada dance for the pleasure of Krishna? Does that answer your question? Thank you very much. Yes, Manu. He was famous for composing very nice poems, and one of the poems I read to you, I'll give you these notes, you can keep it with you. And one of the qualities, as I think maybe Radhika Nagar or somebody else mentioned yesterday, yeah, it was, that one of the qualities of a devotee is kavi, is a poet. You may be a poet, but we don't even know it. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda ki, Itai Go Premanande.
Jai.